Let's pray. Holy Spirit, fall upon us now in this moment with thy celestial fire and give us holy desire. Lift our hearts up in Christ to offer all of who we are before the Father. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight. O Lord God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, when I was in fourth grade, a strange package arrived in the mail. It was a styrofoam cup, water-filled, with a squirming tadpole inside of it. My grandmother, Tammy, as I called her, had purchased for my birthday an aquatic frog. So I dumped the little tadpole into the little plastic tank that had come along. It was only about that big with it. Began to drop in the little nibbles on the tops of the waters for the tadpole. And being the clever sort of kid I was, I named the frog Tammy, after my grandmother. So Tammy blossomed over the next few weeks. She sprouted legs. The tail eventually disappeared. And that tiny little tank started getting a little too small for the blossoming aquatic frog. So my parents went and bought for me one of those gumball machine fish tanks, if you remember those back in the day. And we transported the amphibian into the new tank. Eventually, the special food ran out. And so I would go out into the yard, turn over some sod, and find earthworms. Chop the little earthworms up and drop the little bits into the water for the frog. As the year went on, winter began to approach again, and my father got the bright idea that if frost hit the ground, we wouldn't be able to dig for earthworms anymore. So he had me dig a large amount of sod and dirt and put it in a box in our mudroom. And so every winter day, I would go out and claw through the dirt looking for earthworms, pull it out, chop up the earthworm, drop it into the water. Tammy lived with us for probably 2 years, and I loved that slimy little creature, the growing aquatic frog. Now, there are things in our lives that we feed other than pets. Things that arrive in our lives like something in the mail, in a styrofoam, water-filled cup, a squirming thought, perhaps. Something that we feed nibbles to that eventually loses its legs and begins to grow. Something that we buy gumball machine tanks for and begin to pack in dirt in boxes in the mudroom for the winter. I think of an old family friend in northern Wyoming. We'll call him Bob. Bob has a very tangled relationship with his family. Nothing abusive in any real sense, but a strained relationship. Like most families, there are hard feelings and often hard words, petty squabbles. And one day, after one particularly rousing argument, Bob decided that he'd had enough. It was as if a little tadpole in a styrofoam cup had arrived in the mail, a squirming little thought. I will never forgive them for what they have done to me, and I will never talk to them again. And so for the next few weeks, every day, he would drop little nibbles into the waters of that little plastic tank where he has his thought growing. My family is so mean to me. Eventually, of course, that thought loses its tail, sprouts legs. A little bit longer, and he's got a gumball machine for the now small aquatic frog, which of course is blossoming compared to the little plastic tank. A frog of bitterness in his life. And as winter approaches, he's packing in sod and dirt, turning over the soil, turning over moments in his life, memories of how his family has done him wrong. Remember when Josie said that, analyzing, dissecting the worm, chopping it up, and dropping it into the waters for his bitter frog. And the frog grows and grows. The frog is full grown now, and Bob lives a very bitter and angry life. When his father finally passed away a few years ago, Bob did not attend the funeral. "I will make them suffer. They hurt me, I'm going to hurt them." And anytime a family member or a friend that he's still in contact with speaks to him, "Bob, look, your father was a tough old cuss. There's no doubt about it. He was not easy to live with. But you know, I know he loved you." Bob runs over to his gumball fish tank, chops up a worm, and feeds that bitter frog. No, he always loved Josie more than me. I am unloved." Bob lives a merciless life. And in many ways, Bob is like the servant in Jesus' parable this morning. Jesus tells the story of a servant who receives the forgiveness of the king, God. This servant is bathed in the mercy and in the forgiveness of God. 10,000 talents forgiven. 70 times 7 times of forgiveness. Overwhelming grace. And yet, no sooner does the servant leave the king's hall than it is as if a little styrofoam cup has come in the mail. A little squirming tadpole of a thought. "My fellow servant still owes me." And he feeds it some nibbles. And before you know it, it's grown into a raging frog of bitterness and anger in his life. He has his fellow servant by the throat. "Pay up! You're going to suffer! Prison!" A merciless existence. No forgiveness. No mercy. But Jesus, in our gospel reading, offers a different way of living. Proposes a different way of living. A way of living in freeness and joy. Stop feeding the frog. Stop feeding the frog, says Jesus. Forgive those who sin against you. Forgive. Live in the mercy of God. Let go of all the time that you spend dissecting the wrongs that have been done to you, chopping up those worms, and feeding them to the tadpole that then eventually becomes that web-footed amphibian. Stop feeding the frog. Others have sinned against you. You're not crazy. They've done wrong. But stop feeding the frog. Forgive them. Let go of it. Let go of it and live in freedom. The hours you spend feeding that frog, all the dirt that you pack up in the mudroom, it makes you into an angry, bitter person. Always defensive, always sensitive to every slight. A merciless existence. No mercy. No forgiveness. And in the end, you will get what you want. A life with no mercy and no forgiveness. A life where when someone offers you love, no, your Father really loves you. No! You don't even want mercy for yourself. Stop feeding the frog. But of course, it's hard to stop feeding the frog, isn't it? We love Tammy. We've had Tammy for years. We remember when she came in that little styrofoam cup. The first time we recognized that, yes, someone had done us wrong. And it was real. And then we had fed her and groomed her, moved her from the little small plastic tank to the gumball tank. And now she's grown. We don't want to get rid of bitterness. We enjoy it. And we frankly don't know how to get rid of this amphibian. In St. Matthew's Gospel, Jesus has two talks before he tells this story. The first talk is the story of a lost sheep. And then the second talk is a little discussion on dealing with a lost brother who has sinned against you. In the first talk, Jesus says, sometimes we sin against God. Sometimes you, he says, sin against God. And God leaves the 99 sheep behind and he finds you. He forgives you. He pours out his abundant mercy upon you. 70 times 7 forgiveness. Again and again and again, you are forgiven. And the angels in heaven, says Jesus, sing with joy at the amazement that they have over God's forgiveness of you. But then the second talk. What do you do, says Jesus, when someone sins against you? Just as you have sinned against God and God sought you out, so you turn around and you seek them out. You sinned against me. You hurt me. And if they don't listen, you go get someone else to come with you. You sinned against me. And if they still refuse to listen, if they do not repent, you let them go. Treat them, says Jesus, like a Gentile or a tax collector. In other words, treat them like someone who is a lost sheep, someone whom God has to take care of now. Let them go. Stop feeding the frog. Stop analyzing and chopping up all that they did wrong to you. And it was wrong. But let it go. Jesus teaching us how to stop feeding the frog. Jesus focusing us on God's mercy in our life. God's grace to us. Our sins are great. And yet God seeks and saves us. He forgives us 70 times 7. And this is why when St. Peter asks Jesus, well, how many times should I forgive my brother? 7 times? Woo! Once a day for a week? Jesus says, no, 70 times 7. Always and everywhere. The fullness of the fullness. Because that is how God has forgiven you. Live in that. Ponder the forgiveness of God. And it will make you a forgiving person. A person who loves mercy. Forgiveness. The forgiveness of God. And Jesus also focuses us then on actually dealing with those people who have hurt us. Talking to them. Expressing, hey, that hurt. You sinned against me. And if they refuse to repent, forgiving them by letting them go. Not obsessing about them. Stop feeding the frog. Sisters and brothers, God has forgiven you 70 times 7. And yes, others will sin against you. And you're not crazy. They have sinned against you. But stop feeding the frog. Let it go and focus instead on the mercy and grace of God to you. For that mercy and grace is good news. That is gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.